Welcome to CMO Convo, the podcast where we deep dive into the minds of chief marketing officers from across the globe. Every week, we bring you candid conversations with top CMOs who share their experiences, strategies, and insights into the ever-evolving world of marketing leadership. Join us as we learn from the cream of the crop, uncovering the secrets to their success and the lessons learned along the way.
Hi, Emmett. Thanks so much for joining us on CMO Convo today.
Anthony, thanks. Nice to be here.
Before we get started today then with our topic, I think our audience would really benefit from hearing in your words just a little bit more about yourself and your journey to your kind of current position.
Okay, well, I'll try and give an abridged version because it's kind of a weird, windy road. But so my name is Emmett Gibney. I'm the CEO at Rewardful. I've been in this role for about a year or a year and a half, depending on how you count it. It was kind of like a half a year as sort of like an interim CEO. And been with Rewardful for maybe 2.5 years, give or take. I've been kind of around startup, SaaS and startup sort of world for probably about 12 or so, 10 or 12 years, give or take, kind of depending on when you count it starting. A lot of my career has been in product related roles, but also a lot of marketing, content marketing. I used to run a small video production company. I guess 20 some years ago, I started the small video production company, ran that for a few years. So kind of all over the place, and joined Rewardful about 2.5 years ago. And I guess there's a lot of detail we could go into there, but just to save your audience sort of a long, boring story, the founders of Rewardful left, I guess, almost 2 years ago. And shortly after they left, I kind of fell into the sort of, I guess, the CEO seat after they left and kind of took things over. So, yeah.
Great. Yeah, it's great to hear. So today then we're talking about affiliate marketing. Now, I think it'd be great before we get into the kind of nitty gritty of this, just to sort of, for people who really maybe aren't aware of what this is, can we just have a kind of brief rundown of what affiliate marketing is for our audience?
Yeah, sure. I think the use case that most people would be aware of would be, you know, if you follow some sort of influencer on pick your social network, and effectively they're hawking some sort of product or something that they're using, and they share either a referral link or a coupon code or something like that and say, you know, use this whatever product, right? You know, in a consumer context, that's probably the one that most people are aware of, right? So basically, they're referring you to use some sort of product, and if you end up buying, they'll get a commission. And that's a pretty important distinction in there, is that it's pay for performance. And I think that's the piece that's quite appealing to people when they learn about affiliate marketing, is if you contrast that to pay-per-click marketing, you could throw a lot of money down a well with pay-per-click marketing, and if it doesn't perform, you still spend the money because basically you're buying clicks. So the acronym for PPC would be CPC, cost per click, right? The cost you're paying is per click that the advertising platform is sending you, right? So Google Ads, you're paying for each click they send you. The acronym in affiliate marketing is CPA, so it's cost per acquisition. And so you're paying based on a customer being acquired. And so between the sort of arrangement you set up with the affiliate partners who are sending you traffic, and the software, the tracking software, which is Rewardful, is one of these platforms that tracks actually what happens. You don't pay until a customer is successfully bought from you. So influencer, affiliate, whatever you want to call them, they send you a customer, they arrive on your website, they buy. If they don't buy, you don't pay anything. And so it's very low risk from that perspective. So that's kind of a bit of an overview in terms of, if you're totally, you know, new to affiliate, that's kind of the way to think about it.
So in the sort of broader kind of B2B kind of marketing landscape or SaaS landscape, what is it about this then that's sort of appealing right now? And why is it important to talk about this right now?
So affiliate marketing has been around for a long time, right? It's been around pretty much as long as pay-per-click, pretty much as long as e-commerce has been around. There's been affiliate marketing in that space. And B2B SaaS has been somewhat slow to come to it. And I think part of that was technological, like the platforms weren't really in place to do affiliate tracking and commission calculation for like recurring business models. It was more for like one-off sales. And so in the last few years, it's you know, tools like Rewardful and others have come out that they're working with a subscription model. So it's been technically possible. And then whether it's affiliate programs or other types of partner programs, I think partnerships has kind of entered the zeitgeist within B2B SaaS marketing. You know, leveraging shared audiences is something that has become, I think with good reason, quite a popular approach. You know, it's a very win-win type of relationship, right? And I think part of the challenge too is before affiliate in the kind of e-commerce context, might have had a little bit of bad reputation because a lot of the type of programs and products that were using affiliate marketing, you know, were, I don't want to say disreputable or anything like that, but it kind of had, I don't know if you've ever seen these, a lot of these kind of info marketers from like the first era of internet marketing that were kind of like selling $5,000 courses and this kind of stuff. And a lot of those guys would have used affiliate marketing just because it was an effective way to share audiences with each other. But I think the market and the industry of affiliate marketing kind of got tarred with a bit of a brush that but now in B2B, you know, B2B marketing is a very different beast. It's about shared credibility as opposed to hawking products, right? And I think that's what's really interesting in B2B marketing, where trust and thought leadership and kind of like a long-term view on a relationship. It's not, we're not just trying to sell you something once and then I'm done with you. It's, I'm going to sell something to you, and the value I get as an affiliate, let's say I'm a thought leader or influencer, it's going to come from a long-term subscription that you're paying. And so I'm going to recommend products that are good, that I have some sort of expertise on, right? So you might have, we see a lot of AI products. So you might have someone who's some sort of AI expert and they're, you know, promoting products that they use that they think are really good. So yeah, bit of a long-winded response, but I think there's a lot of different factors that are in play that both kind of answer like why now, like why is this starting to happen, but also why people should pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right to hit on that point of kind of the trust. And I think, again, that ties in with SaaS in particular, is the kind of, you know, the idea of the power being in the hands of the customers a little bit more. So it's less about kind of pushing products on people, hawking products, as you said, and more about kind of that relationship building, isn't it? Very often, I think people understand the kind of value of that now. More than ever. And also with a lot of research, you know, into how a lot of modern consumers, a lot of younger people, a lot of the research seems to indicate that they're more concerned with the company's values. They're less concerned, you know, they actually care about kind of a company kind of, you know, really appearing to have their best interests at heart, and to have a kind of good ethical standing. And I think that kind of goes hand in hand with that as well, a little bit, you know, and why it would probably, it would have needed to have been, what's the word? Rehabilitated affiliate marketing, I think would be the right word if it was if it had this tarred reputation, as you said at one time.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So what kind of unique advantages would affiliate marketing offer for businesses compared to other types of companies?
Subscription business is the value that you can offer to affiliates is more because it's a recurring revenue, right? So the customers that they refer to you, and again, it depends on how you've structured your program, if you're paying recurring commissions, but it's quite appealing to affiliates, this kind of building their own recurring revenue stream. And one of the big things that you need to do when you're reaching out to affiliates is you need to distinguish yourself amongst what are the other things that they could potentially promote. And if you're selling something that has a recurring revenue element, that's an advantage for you, that you're going to be able to convince them that they should promote your product as opposed to something that's just a one-time payment. And the other advantage, let's say in SaaS compared to e-commerce, is the margin that you have to share is much bigger, right? So we'll typically see commission rates for B2B SaaS affiliate programs will be somewhere between 20 and 30% of recurring revenue. In e-commerce, it'd be 5 or 10% of the purchase price, just because their margins are much tighter, right? They can't afford to share as much margin. And they're also much less likely to have an understanding of what's the customer lifetime value. Whereas in SaaS, you know, metrics abound, right? You have so many metrics, and if you're in any way mature as a SaaS business, you're going to have a reasonably good sense of what your customer lifetime value is, which is going to make it easier for you to set a commission rate that makes sense, works for you, and works for the affiliate. So,
yeah. So in terms of then, like, just sort of sticking in the kind of B2B realm, then what qualities would you be looking for when you're sort of thinking about kind of, you know, choosing affiliates, selecting affiliates to work with?
So when you're trying to figure out, we talk about like this idea of an ideal affiliate profile. Somebody we'd have like an ideal customer profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And effectively what your ideal affiliate is going to be someone who has a pre-existing audience of your ideal customer, right?
Yeah.
So this is kind of a contrived, obvious example, but let's say, for example, a lot of our customers are, we kind of have two ICPs. So we've got one, it's more of like an indie hacker, solopreneur. They've built their own product, one-man band kind of situation. And the other is more of an established marketer within a larger company. But let's take that first example of the indie hacker. We have one affiliate who also happens to be a customer of ours, a guy named Damon Chen, and he's an indie hacker. And he's got, I don't know, some tens of thousands of Twitter followers. And every now and then he'll tweet about the fact that he uses Rewardful and, you know, how he likes it and so on and so forth. And it's great because, one, it's a customer testimonial. And then also he's in our ICP and his audience is our ICP, right? So he has the ability to drive traffic. He has credibility because he uses our product and is in our ICP. He has the reach to be able to get to these people. And that's kind of what you want to find. And there's different sources of traffic that they might be sending you. They might be like Damon, he's a Twitter influencer with tens of thousands of followers. Or it could be someone who's got a website that, you know, a blog that talks about whatever topic you happen to be, right? So let's say you've got software that is, I don't know, recruitment. You talk about recruitment for SaaS or whatever, right? And they join an affiliate program for an applicant tracking system or something like that, right? And even if they're not a customer, but, you know, if they've used your product, again, that speaks to their credibility. But just if they understand your space, so they can speak from authority, and they have an audience of people that come to their website learning about recruiting or whatever, right? So really it's about having an inbuilt audience of your ideal customer that they can reach. There are other affiliates that are more less in it for the love and more in it for just sort of mercenary profiteering, which is totally fine. And they tend to be more, I think more often than not, kind of like SEO arbitrage experts. So like they understand how to rank for particular traffic sources, and they'll write reviews about products because they're good at ranking for those topics. And, you know, the way to find them is basically, I always kind of say to pair your SEO efforts with your affiliate recruitment efforts. So basically, if you pull together a list of, I'm just picking a random number, let's say 20 keywords that you want to rank for, Google those search terms and go looking at all the results, the top, let's say, five pages or more of results, and find people that are like this, that have, they've created best, top 10 best applicant tracking systems or whatever, right? And reach out to them and try and get them as affiliates, right? You know, they're not going to be speaking of a position, from a position of authority of I'm an expert in recruiting or whatever, you know, your area is. But they're able to insert themselves in that buyer's journey, right? Someone's going and doing their research. If they can, they have the skills to get in front of people in that journey. They'd be a good person to partner with as an affiliate.
So there's a real overlap then with kind of with thought leadership in a way, isn't there? There's the people who position themselves as thought leaders are the kind of people that perhaps you, in your particular sphere, whatever it might be, is what you would be looking for then as a potential affiliate.
Yes. So it would be either some sort of thought leader or they've just managed, like we see a lot of like people who've created just like review sites of different tools, and they monetize through affiliates. But yeah, in an ideal world, if someone is an influencer with some decent audience that can drive traffic, they'd be great for, you know, they got the traffic, they've got the authority, they've got the credibility.
So just bearing in mind then that there are people who, you know, be watching maybe who are, you know, aspiring marketers or marketing leaders in the kind of B2C space as well. What's the difference there? What kind of thing would people, would they be looking more at kind of influencer types? Let's say, for example, you're, a makeup brand or something like that, or a restaurant. What would you be looking at in that space? Are the rules pretty much the same, like the kind of overlap with ICP, or are there some key differences there?
I can only speculate. We don't have much in the way of e-commerce customers using Rewardfall. Even in B2C, it's mostly like SaaS B2C. But in terms of the types of partners you're going to want to work with, it's going to be similar in terms of you want people that have an audience of your ideal customer. But I think what you'll find that might be difficult or different is, like I was saying before, you don't have as much margin to work with in terms of the commissions that you can offer. Mm-hmm. That being said, I could say it's somewhat of a benefit, depending on what stage you're at, if you're in B2B SaaS. So for a consumer, is generally speaking, you know, if people want to buy your product, because they buy your product. There's a lot of people who build SaaS products and they don't know because it's some new thing, right? Like it's some new kind of concept. That's a different topic we can go into more detail, but basically like the concept of product market fit isn't as much of an issue. And, you know, if you're selling some sort of existing product, you might not have brand, but you know, people want to buy, I don't know, bicycles or whatever it is that you might be selling. If you're creating a new product and selling direct, that's tough because you don't have a brand that you're trying to build, like a new brand as well. So.
Yeah, so I know what you're saying. So if you're a brand that's selling a product that's existed for a long time, in that case, you know, it might be enough to have certain affiliates who just kind of has a cool image almost, or a kind of trendy image that I guess just makes people associate positively with what you're offering, as opposed to like if you're offering a new product, you've created a new category or something, and it's like you have to validate what you've created, right? You have to get somebody 100%. Who is an authority in the field to show that that this is that this works, you know, and that.
Well, what I would say, quite frequently we'll get people coming to Rewardful and they're totally new. They have no customers and they're looking for their first channel, right? Yeah. And it's really difficult to, like, you're launching an affiliate program, but you're also launching your business and you don't have product market fit yet. You don't know if your funnel is poorly optimized or whatever, right? You don't want to be figuring out, like, conversion rate optimization and product market fit issues while also launching an affiliate program. Your affiliates will get frustrated, right? But your point there about authority is, if you are really, like, know your space and you partner with someone who's like a really established thought leader within your space, it can work because they carry a lot of social proof and validation. You know, so-and-so, they're an expert in recruiting and they say my applicant tracking system is, like, the best. People will give it a try because they're expending their social capital, which really is, that's what affiliates are bringing. They're bringing social capital to the party. But really, what I would say is affiliate is a challenging first channel. It's great as a second, third, fourth channel. But if you don't have any revenue and you're thinking, I'm going to use affiliate to get my first customers, unless you've got a thought leader, influencer, whoever, who's willing to spend their social capital on helping you launch your product, and you're going to pay them generously in terms of commission to do that, I would say affiliate is better as, like, a secondary, tertiary channel.
So it's not very good then as kind of like a way of launching your product then?
Yeah. Again, unless you've managed to partner with a thought leader, influencer, who's got serious social capital that they're willing to bring to your launch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So in that, what I wanted to ask you then, actually, after this, like, say you've got your product and you're rolling out your go-to-market strategy, like, where would affiliate marketing factor into this? Like, what stage? Like, or would it, where, so, like, if it was going to be a part of your plan, where would it come in, basically, is what I'm asking.
I think basically, that caveat there of, unless you've got, like, someone who's going to be an influencer, like, that's got a real, you know, credibility to lend to you, I would say you want to have at least one other channel that is working, right?
Yeah.
In terms of scale, like, it could be, maybe you're at 10,000 MRR or something like that, right? 5 or 10,000 in MRR, right? So, like, maybe it's SEO, maybe it's paid search, maybe it's social. You've got one other channel that you can reliably get customers through. And it might be, like, you're just getting a few customers, new customers per month or something like that, right? But you validated that, like, people are willing to buy and your landing page can convert and, you know, people are onboarding into your product. It's not like a totally leaky funnel, like, people onboard and then they just churn and, you know, you're losing people because your affiliates will get frustrated that none of the customers they're sending you are converting or none of them are sticking around. So you want to have some early semblance of traction. Because again, affiliates, they're just traffic. And so if they're sending traffic into a funnel that just doesn't convert or it's leaky or whatever, you're just going to constantly be recruiting new affiliates because they'll get frustrated.
So it needs to be something, then you need to make sure that you've got kind of all your ducks in a row in terms of having,
I think so.
Yeah. In terms of, like, you've got a strong team that can kind of, you know, that knows how to convert, knows how to spoil.
Not necessarily. I don't think you need a team. Like, we have customers who they're solo founders and, you know, very, like, Damon Chen from testimonial.to. And then he's got another product, pdf.ai. And I think it's just him. And he's got affiliate programs to those products and he's doing well with them. So you can definitely do it without having to have a team. But you'd need to have something that's that's working, right? And if you have a team and you've got someone on your team that can be not solely focused on your affiliate program, but if you have like someone who's their generalist marketer and they can split some portion of their time on tending to your affiliate program, that's definitely an ideal situation to be in. But even if you have a team, but you managed to get funding, but you've got no customers, it's going to be difficult to set up an affiliate program as your first channel, because again, affiliates would get frustrated if no one's converting.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So then let's go into some key do's and don'ts. Then if you're looking to set up your own affiliate program, what would you say are some of the key things you need to be mindful of? And what are some of the pitfalls you've seen that people have, some of the key errors that people have made or organizations have made?
I think one of the recurring misconceptions that people have, and I think a lot of affiliate marketing platforms help to perpetuate this sort of myth or misunderstanding, misconception, is that affiliate is like some sort of like set it and forget it channel. We'll set up an affiliate program, people like trip their way into our affiliate program and they'll send us customers for free and we'll just pay them commissions when they, because they hear, like I was talking at the beginning of the call, this idea of like cost per acquisition. It's like, oh, I only have to pay them if they're successful. And they think of that as like, oh, it's free money. Like these people are going to send me customers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a set it and forget it program. You need to make sure that you're paying, some attention, dedicate an hour a week or a couple hours a week to kind of tend to the program, right? One way to think about your affiliate program is almost like a product of its own. You're selling the affiliate program to affiliates to promote. So the first thing is like, you need to have a product that people want to buy. In this case, it's a product that people want to promote, right? So you're going to be selling your product to the affiliates that like, we've got this product, these are testimonials of people who use it and they think it's good. You should want to promote it because you'll make money. And so to think about it again, like this idea of like a funnel, the same way you would with your product. So the first thing you need with a funnel is you need a landing page. And so a mistake a lot of people do is, I see this all the time with our customers where they'll have like a link in their footer to their affiliate program. And all it will do is just linked to the like Rewardful affiliate dashboard that their affiliates can go and register. And it's like, well, but you haven't given them any context. You just sent them to this form that doesn't tell them anything, right? So we say like, set up a landing page on your marketing site for your affiliate program that sells your affiliate program. Talk about your product and how customers like to buy it. Talk about how much money they could make by promoting your affiliate program. Refer us 10 customers and that would mean on average you'd be making $200 a month or something like that from our affiliate program, right? Things like that. If people are interested, go to rewardful.com, go to our footer, look at our affiliate program. We've got a landing page. You could use that as sort of like a template to kind of seal from. So that's the top of the funnel. You got a landing page that's directing people towards your affiliate program. And then there's onboarding and activation, same thing you'd have in a B2B SaaS, right? So when people sign up to your affiliate program, put them in an email newsletter with like an automated cadence, right? So for example, when people sign up to our affiliate program, I can't remember how many emails we have. Maybe it's 3 or 4 emails that are pre-programmed. It's like a cadence. So, day one, they get an email that tells them how to use the dashboard or something like that. Day two, maybe it's like a week later and it's like, here's some resources that you can use to promote us. Week three, here's, a webinar or something like that, like a pre-recorded YouTube video or something like that, right? So you're doing things to try and onboard and activate them into promoting your product. And there's a lot of this kind of stuff. People like they just have this idea of, I'm just going to set up an affiliate program. Somehow people are going to like accidentally sign up for it and start sending me customers. And like any channel, the more you invest in it, the more you're going to get out of it. And the sort of comparison I often make is to say your affiliate program will be very similar to your SEO, where it can be kind of slow, but then it compounds over time as you get more and more backlinks. And that's actually similar because in many cases it is, you are actually just actively going out and getting backlinks for your website. They're just affiliate links.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah. So one of the questions I have finally is about the kind of, I guess I've mentioned this earlier, like there's perhaps a kind of cynicism a little bit around affiliate marketing. And I do think people, you know, consumers in general are kind of more savvy nowadays, as I said. What is the, how can you do affiliate marketing in such a way that that isn't a problem?
I think it depends on what the product is. And I think a lot of that cynicism, I think it's more prominent in B2C, where you've got these influencers that are like, oh, look at this amazing resort that I went to, and isn't it great? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but they paid for your all expenses trip and whatever, right?
Yeah.
There's no real like authenticity or whatever in there, right? And I think in B2B, again, if you're working with thought leaders as opposed to sort of SEO arbitrage affiliates, if it's thought leaders, they're unlikely to be just promoting any old product, right? Like it's going to be something like they're trading on their name and their credibility, because that thought leadership, I think thought leadership, I think it's a little bit different from just like influencer, because like they're trading on their expertise and their deep knowledge within a space, as opposed to just, I'm charming and entertaining and, you know, sharing this kind of luxury lifestyle. And so I think in B2B, it is a little bit different.
Sure.
But I think it's good to be conscious of, like, I could see it being a bit of a slippery slope where you, this is probably more on the affiliates side, the thought leader side, where you could slip into that if you're not careful with the products you're recommending. But I think for the brands themselves, I don't think there's too much danger in the B2B space that'll happen.
No, I guess not. No, and I suppose, like you said, the people that you've got, the affiliates that you've got, they're kind of, it's their reputation at stake, isn't it? If they start promoting products that are on scratch, then all of that kind of esteem and respectability that they've built up in order to be in this kind of position is at stake, isn't it? So I suppose it's in their best interest, isn't it?
They really are spending their social capital.
And exactly, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, social capital.
If they spend too much of it, they'll have none left eventually. So.
It's really great, and it's a really interesting topic. I think that this idea of how we use partnerships to kind of to build a sense of trust, because I think it's so hard now, isn't it, just to get people to even express any interest in your product in any way, or even, I mean, I think because people are just so inundated, especially in the tech space, with so many different things. It makes sense to me that this kind of thing would have seen, you know, a resurgence, that you need all the help you get. You need that validation of people saying, like, this is what we're offering. You know, I've tried this myself. You can trust me. This works, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's really interesting. Okay, well, great. It's been really enlightening. Thanks so much for this. If people want to contact you and find out more about this topic, where should they go?
Go to rewardful.com. We've got a blog there where we talk about all sorts of different things related to affiliate marketing. We've also got a course at academy.rewardful.com. It's a free course. You don't have to pay anything. I think it's like 2 hours worth of content in there. I think LinkedIn is probably kind of most of the content that I'm putting out is on there. So, if you come find me on LinkedIn, follow me. We're producing content like pretty much every day. We're putting stuff out. So lots of stuff there to learn more about affiliate marketing.
We'll definitely look out for that. Thank you so much, Emmett.
Cool. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of CMO Convo. For more content like this, check the recommended videos on your screen now. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to our channel, and hit the notification bell so you never miss a thing.